I'm okay being a little scared. And I think most moms are okay being a little scared. It's really scary when you hold your kid for the first time and you think, I'm going to have this kid for 18 years and I got to know everything that's going to happen. I think starting a business is a lot like that. It's okay to be a little bit scared. That's exciting.
Welcome to the IDOU Creative Confidence Podcast, a series focused on building your confidence at work to tackle your biggest creative challenges.
Join us as we learn insights and lessons straight from IDEO and today's most impact-oriented design thinking leaders.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Gibbs Howard.
And I'm Kalita Stafford.
Welcome to the latest in episode of our Creative Confidence series. I'm Kalita Stafford, Executive Design Director at IDOU, and I'm thrilled to welcome Kate Torgerson today.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So today's series is all about mom-led entrepreneurship and mom-led innovation. Kate is joining us from her home today, like so many of us around the world. Kate, I would love for you to just share what is something in your home that gives you joy or gives you a moment of delight today.
So I am actually, for reals, reporting from our playroom. We have a pretty small house, and I don't have a home office. So I am in the playroom, and it's a room that brings me much joy and much angst. It's pretty much where everything is made. You know, imagination takes place here. Kids are constantly trying things out. So it's really like our lab. And actually, it's where I work now that we're work from home. So it's both inspiring and also problematic.
This is why I'm so excited to have you on, Kate. You are the real deal. Like, this is what a modern working mom life is like. And that's what we're going to talk about. And it's so inspiring. And we can do this. So Kate is the CEO and founder of Milk Stork. We're going to talk about her company today. Today's episode is going to unfold in three parts. First, we're going to share the origin story of Milk Stork, which is Kate's company, and she's going to talk about what it means to be a purpose-driven organization. Then we're going to talk broadly about female entrepreneurship, and Kate, you're going to share some of your mindsets for building and expanding a business. Lots of great topics around leadership today. And the third one, we'll talk about leading through uncertainty. We can't deny this is an interesting time for a lot of businesses. And it takes innovation and moral compass of the leader to really make choices in this time. So Kate's going to share some stories about that too. It's no coincidence. Mother's Day is right around the corner. Kate is the founder and CEO of Milk Stork. It's the world's first breast milk travel solution. I could have used this 10 years ago. Her story is all about mom-led innovation and entrepreneurship. And it's been covered in many outlets such as The Today Show, People, and Fortune. In 2015, Milk Stork was recognized as one of Business Insider's 19 coolest new businesses. Previously, Kate has a long history of working in communications at Clif Bar. You're also a ski instructor and an archaeologist. So, multiverse. I can't wait for you to tell us more about Milk Stork. I understand you started this company right after giving birth to twins, mm-hmm. when you already also had another child. So you're a mother of three. Mm-hmm. You were working at Clif Bar. You'd been there for quite a while. You had a great job. Was there something about just motherhood and all these things happening that actually made you successful? What is it about working moms? Are they an asset to an organization?
Oh my gosh, working moms have grit. I don't think I could have started a company at any other time in my life. When I started Milk Stork, my twins were about 7 or 8 months old. I also had a three-year-old, so all three of my kids were under the age of three. I was working full-time. I was breastfeeding the twins, obviously. And, you know, I really didn't have any other free time. But after having this really kind of nightmare business trip with the breast milk, I just felt compelled to see this idea through. And at the time, you know, I was already sleep deprived. It was almost like starting a company was easier than what I was doing with the three kids at home. It was an outlet for me. And I built it really hooked up to the pump in 20-minute increments, you know, 3 to 5 times a day while I was pumping. It fueled me in a way, and motherhood fueled the idea. So it really was and has been an exceptional time. I think with moms, you inherently are comfortable with hacking solutions together. any mom who's tried to get a toddler to go to sleep knows that it takes 1,000 failures to get to one glorious moment when they actually fall asleep. And you just get really used to the cycle of iteration, the cycle of trying to find a new solution. I mean, it's kind of the daily adventure of a mom.
Yeah. I love the things you touch on. Working in 20-minute increments, having the grit to try things multiple times. Like, these mindsets are not great only for motherhood, but they're essential for being a great leader and a great contributor in a business. So let's go back. You said a nightmare of a business trip. Can you tell me more about, let's talk about the origin of Milk Stork. What happened and how did you come up with this idea?
So I think if you ask any breastfeeding mom about travel, she's got a Wild West story to tell of some hurdle that she's run into. For me, with the twins, you know, they were my second and third child. I had breastfed my first child for 18 months, and I always tell people it was rainbows and unicorns, perfect latch out of the gate, great breastfeeding relationship. And then I had twins, and I totally went into that situation overconfident, thinking, no problem.
You got this.
I got this. Breastfeeding two people at once, not an issue. So hard. They're fraternal twins, so a boy and a girl. One's a little chunky, one's a little thin. Totally two different human beings. And I had two totally different breastfeeding relationships happening simultaneously. Wow. So we fought through a lot of issues. We fought through tandem nursing and weight gain issues and tongue ties. So by the time this business trip came up, we had overcome a lot. They hadn't had formula, and I didn't want to throw in the towel on breastfeeding just for the sake of a business trip.
What was your mindset as a professional going to work at this time and deciding to go on a business trip?
Yeah. So I was working at Clif Bar, which is an incredibly family-friendly company. And I'm sure they would have been fine if I had said, you know, I'm breastfeeding and I'm not taking this trip. But for me, I had also been walking around the office 9 months pregnant with twins. And I had, you know, this neon sign over my head that said mom. And I really wanted to be back invested in this other part of my personality, and that was my professional ambitions. So I personally wanted to take the trip. So I really felt the tension of what I wanted for my kids and I wanting to give my second and third kids what my first had, and also being fully invested in my career.
And I think a lot of people can relate to this kind of moment. So you decide to go, and what happens?
So
How did you prepare for it?
So if you haven't lactated, the way it works is that you're producing exactly what your baby or babies need when they need it. And therein lies the challenge, because it's a very perfect supply and demand relationship. Mm-hmm. And to move production offsite hundreds of miles away really disrupts the supply and demand. So what that means for moms is that they have to trick their body into producing more milk so that they can stash it to cover their absence, which means that you have to add pumping sessions before your trip to create that extra milk and build up your supply. And then while you're away, you have to pump relentlessly, you know, basically every 3 hours to maintain your ability to lactate and to keep your supply up. It's a huge logistical challenge. And for me at the time with twins, I was producing a half gallon of milk every day. So a 4-day business trip meant that I had to produce 2 gallons to cover my absence. And then I was going to have to deal with 2 gallons of breast milk in a hotel mini fridge and carry it all home. And I just kept thinking, if I could just get the milk home, it would solve the problems that before the trip, and it would solve so many of the problems during the trip. And the other thing is that breast milk's super perishable. And, you know, four days on the clock for breast milk is, you know, 4 days too long.
Yep. And so you go on this trip. What were the challenges you faced?
Constant pumping in bathrooms and other kind of degrading environments, I would say. Managing a perishable substance in a hotel room mini fridge where you have varying temperatures. I think the other huge challenge was getting it all back through TSA. You know,
how'd you do that? What happened?
So I had put the milk into a hard plastic Nalgene bottle, like backpacking bottles, because I had so much milk. And then because I had so much milk, I couldn't use those tiny gel packs anymore. I had to use gallon size bags of ice. So I packed it all up in a soft cooler. It weighed like 28 pounds. I had my wheelie bag. I had my breast pump bag, my computer bag, like purse computer bag. I mean, it was like burdens. I went through TSA. I got questioned as to why one woman would have so much breast milk. Because it's like literally
it's 2 gallons.
Imagine carrying like 2 jugs through TSA. And then they dumped out all my ice. They asked me why I had put it in bag. I mean, I had to educate every single person that I encountered who encountered my milk about the process of breastfeeding and why I was invested in it, and try to get their buy-in to help me get through this process.
And like, it can sound, if you haven't had this experience, it can sound like, well, why would you do so much work? And so why is this important to a mom, to a working professional?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's something that I can fully, it's in your heart. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something that you can fully explain, but I think for many women, breastfeeding or breast milk, it's a substance that really represents the love for your children, your investment in your children. It also it represents time. I mean, if you think about how much time goes into producing 4 ounces of breast milk, it's a Herculean effort. So it's a substance that has like this kind of this symbolism behind it. And I think for me too, it's not just about transporting breast milk, but to be able to come back and be able to breastfeed my child at the breast.
And keep the supply.
To keep the supply up.
And I've heard you say it's all about helping normalize this conversation for other women. This shouldn't be something that should only be felt in one person's heart. So how did you go? So this was a painful experience for you. You came home. What was your mindset by the time you got home? What did you do?
I was pissed. I was pissed. I was mad that I was frustrated to the point of it shouldn't be this hard. At that point, I had heard so many stories of other women facing these challenges. It just, in this day and age, it shouldn't be that hard for, especially when 50% of the workforce is female. Most moms are working moms, and most women in the workforce are going to have kids.
This is the norm for a vast percentage of the world population.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you get home. I understand you had a conversation with your dad.
Yeah. So I, on the flight, I'm like pissed. And then I'm like trying to think of like how I'm going to solve, like how could we solve this? Well, if I could just get the milk home. Okay. How am I going to get the milk home? Just kind of like connecting all the dots, like firing in my head. So I got home and the first person I called was my dad. And I said, hey, dad, I have this idea. And he's like, where do we start? Literally, those were the first words out of his mouth within 24 hours of getting back from the trip. So we started, it was super exciting. We just started like, what is the first thing that we can solve? What is the next thing that we can solve? And just kind of going down that path. I don't think we had this like amazing roadmap. It was really one foot in front of the other. I think too, there's one other person whose buy-in I had to get, and that was my husband. And I will never forget the conversation. He was holding one of the twins and I was holding the other of the twins, and we were literally standing in a pile of Hot Wheels. And I said, I want to do this thing. Like I want to try to solve this problem. I wasn't even thinking in terms of like a company. And he's like, you want to do that now?
Now?
And I was like, now is as good as time as any, really. I mean, like, when's it ever? It's like the same question you have when you're going to have kids. Like, everyone's like, well, I'm going to wait until things are perfect. Well, things are never going to be perfect. So you might as well just go for it.
And that mindset too of you felt a very distinct need. You recognize that you're not the only one that has this need. And then that spark of motivation, okay, I got to try something. You don't have to have it perfect, but you're like, I'm going to try something. So you started to build this business. Can you just describe at a high level? So what is the milk stork experience? And then I want to talk about how you started in one place and then it evolved to be an offering that HR groups everywhere appreciate. So tell me about that.
We help moms get their milk home when they're traveling away from their babies. So we ship them coolers that are basically kits that are all ready to go with everything that they need to pack up their refrigerated breast milk. All they have to do, it's like pre-labeled, pre-addressed, push button activated. Really the North Star, as I was trying to solve for this problem, was that it has to be so easy for moms. It has to take like 2 minutes in their hotel room, and they never leave their hotel room for anything except to drop off the package. And so that was really kind of the guiding principle. So if a mom shows up at a hotel, she gets these coolers, she packs up her milk, drops it at the front desk, and it overnights home, to try to make it as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we were always keeping in mind is that these moms are tired. They're not only just doing their job, they're doing this other kind of like mountain of logistics to keep the pumping going. The middle of the night pump, the 3 a.m. pump, to keep that supply up. So they're just exhausted and they need an easy solution. So it was really about coming up with something that was elegant and easy for them.
and you have such empathy. And I think that's part of what good design. So this is a service business, and good design is all about deeply understanding the pain points and making it effortless. And that's, I think, what people love so much about Milk Stork. But that principle, good businesses are human centered. You understand your customers. So you started Milk Stork, and it started with B2C, so individuals, but it quickly evolved to B2B offerings. So what happened? Was that always part of your strategy?
No, it was not. I mean, having a business was never part of my strategy. Let's be clear. Solving a problem was what I was after, and it became a business. And it was just because each of those steps became more exciting. Yeah, we launched in August of 2015, kind of literally flipped the switch on the website, and we got our first order. And then we were like, oh my God, now we actually have to fulfill this order. Like, how are we going to do that? And then within 10 days, actually, I got contacted by one of the largest consulting firms in the country.
Got it.
Asking us to bring on Milk Stork as a benefit to their North American employees. And I will never forget the call. I was in my minivan in the childcare parking lot at Cliff Bar. And I took the call. And she's like, this is going to be a great opportunity. You know, we have 48,000 employees in North America, and we want Milk Stork as a benefit. Can you launch in 30 days? And I just remember saying, yes, thank you.
This is a mom. It out. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out. So what was happening, and I think Milk Stork came at a really key moment, and it really came right before Me Too. And I think what was happening in the world is women were becoming very vocal about what their work experiences were, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that included things. I mean, of course, that included sexual harassment in the workplace, but it also included the realities of just being a woman in the workplace. And part of that, you know, a niche part of that Me Too is lactation and the realities of motherhood. And thank God for millennial moms, because what happened was they started speaking up. Advocating for getting the support they needed to do their jobs properly. Yeah. And typically they were going to someone in HR, usually a woman. It just happens that there are a lot of women in HR who are very empathetic people and had lived the pain point themselves. So it became kind of a chain reaction of moms to HR and we had companies just banging on our door.
Yeah. And so I just love hearing too, what started as once your story of a nightmare experience is something that hundreds of thousands of women relate to, and it serves a need. So I want to zoom out for a moment and just talk about you as a leader. You said you're like, it wasn't my plan to launch a business. It wasn't my plan to leave a job. What are the mindsets that enabled you to take these bold choices to be an entrepreneur? Do you have some tips and advice for women or anyone who is feeling the need to make a change in some part of the world, but they don't feel like they have the experience?
I think it's such a gift to not know what you're doing. And that sounds crazy, but if I had a background in cold chain logistics, I don't think I would have ever started Milk Stork, because I would have been too overwhelmed by my knowledge of cold chain logistics. And that means like the transportation of cold stuff. The fact that I was coming at it from a totally different angle and a mom angle, frankly, is what allowed me to ask questions like, why does it have to be this one way? Or why can't we do it this way? I wasn't entrenched in anything. So it gave me a lot of freedom to challenge I had a lot of people say, like, you can't do it that way. But yeah, I mean, why not? Why can't we? Or, you know, our coolers aren't, you know, you can't, this cooler can't be used in this fat. And I was like, why not? So I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is, I do think it comes down to being a mom, is that you really are pushing through. No one gives you a guidebook for how to be a mom. Every day is white space. Every minute is white space. You know, I'm not the best mom in the world, but I love my kids. I think they're good people. So I had a lot of confidence in my ability to guide something into the world and do my best at it. And so that's that mom mindset of just like innovation. I think it's just you give birth or you adopt or you have a child in your arms, and innovation is like in play. The last thing I'll say is that in my, you know, previous life, you know, ski instructor, whatever, I'm okay being a little scared. And I think most moms are okay being a little scared. It's really scary when you hold your kid for the first time and you think, I'm going to have this kid for 18 years and I got to know everything that's going to happen. I think starting a business is a lot like that. It's okay to be a little bit scared. That's exciting.
Yeah. So many great mindsets and ways in which you think, Kate, which is so refreshing. And let's talk about like the current context. So Milkstork is one of many businesses who is being deeply affected right now by the coronavirus. Milkstork has been impacted as travel has reduced. What has this moment been like for you as a leader, and what are you doing?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we had our best month in January, and we just felt like we were on top of the world. You know, like I was feeling really overly, just as I went in overconfident on breastfeeding twins, I was feeling overconfident in January. And then COVID happened. Obviously, no one's traveling. So
yeah,
it's been really hard on the business. And things have been moving very, very fast. In the world, you know, companies are really struggling to adapt quickly, and we face the same thing. For me, it became a meditation on our purpose. Our purpose is to support moms on a mission. And we've done that by tackling this very first moment in motherhood, which is breastfeeding and business travel. I mean, it's a tiny moment in motherhood when you look at the whole universe of motherhood. But by leaning and leaning into that purpose and meditating on it, and by meditating, I mean having time and space to think. Really, to think about it.
How do you do that?
I go for walks. Okay. Or I hop on my Peloton. I mean, honestly, it means being away. For me, it means being away from people to really like get scared or excited by ideas and kind of entertain different pathways. So what we ended up doing is we've launched a shop called The Mother Shop. It's basically a marketplace of products that are made by moms for moms, and we're giving 1% back to moms and babies in need. It's a way for us to support moms on a mission with their own small businesses. I mean, the reality is that 2% of women-owned businesses make $1 million ever. Most of them never pass $1 million.
Crazy.
So giving them access to our audience and kind of promoting them is what the mothership is about, the mother shop. The other thing that we're doing that I'm also really excited about is that we're supporting a lot of research studies around coronavirus that are looking into a relationship between COVID and breast milk. So we're looking at ways to support it, the donor process, through our logistics.
So inspiring. I think a lot of organizations right now are revisiting this idea of purpose. Why do we exist beyond just profit?
Yeah.
And there's you have such a heart and soul to how you think about your business. Here's our purpose. Here's how we launched, but here's how we can also express that purpose in other parts of our business. Such an inspiring story. Do you have any other lessons of leadership? So I know you spend a lot of time at Clif Bar. Is there any other lessons of leadership that has helped kind of build up your mindsets and your ability to do this?
Yeah, I learned a lot at Clif Bar. I was there for 18 years, and I was, you know, I wasn't there from the beginning, but close to the beginning. So I saw that company go from very small to very large. I also saw it take on, like any company, just their ups and downs. One thing that I learned from Gary and Kit is embrace it as an adventure. Like, you know, I think that comes into purpose is like, at the end of the day, it's for like Gary and Kit, it's never about the money. It's about the adventure of the endeavor. And that's what you're going to take with you. I mean, for me, Milkstore came, my co-founders are my kids and my dad, but I want them to engage in things that bring life, bring spirit to their lives. And I think whether it's a good moment or a bad moment, that's all part of the adventure. I think the other thing is when you have a strong purpose, you have the belief that you will get through things. I mean, as moms, how many bad days in a row do you have? You know, you're like this. And to know that there will be happy days on the other side. I try to share that with my team. And the other thing, this is another kind of mom insight, is that have you ever seen your kids just struggle to build something and they're just so upset and they're like forcing it and trying to? Building is messy. It is complicated and not streamlined all the time. So one thing that I've been trying to impart to our employees is like, we have to get comfortable in the uncomfortable. We have to be okay with the messiness. We have to be okay that this got built and it doesn't have a process behind it. It will. We're all stakeholders in the building. and just to accept it as a creative process.
Hi there, Co here from IDEO-U. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. Curious to know a bit more about IDEO-U? We're an online school where anyone can learn to solve anything creatively. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed today, I invite you to join us for our course called Human-Centered Service Design. In it, you'll gain the skills and techniques to understand customer needs, look holistically at the interactions you have with customers, and design moments that people will remember. Check it out at ideou.com/service design. Now, let's get back to the conversation. We're going to switch over to questions and keep channeling the wisdom of being both a professional and a mom. I'm going to start with a time crunch question. So Erin has one question around the reality of the time crunch as a mom of young babies. How do you birth children and a business at the same time? Or like, here is one from Catherine. How do you schedule your day and how has that evolved over time?
That is a good question, given the current circumstances. Well, what I will say about time is no one has less time than a mom. And when I started Milkstork, I did not have any free time. I really, really did build it when I was hooked up on a pump because it was the only free time I had. I had 20-minute increments 3 to 5 times a day during the day. And then the other thing, I mean, I worked on it when they went to sleep, if they went to sleep. I mean, you know, when they finally actually went to sleep. And then I would work on it until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I did that for 3 years.
Yeah. And as crazy as that sounds, so some people hear that and they're like, well, but how do you have time for that? But part of it too is because time is so precious, you actually know what to focus on. You actually, you are more focused on what really matters. I actually found, so me as a working mother as well, I found my relationship to work improved after children because I knew the value of each block of time and what I was trading off, why I was doing this and not that. And so I think being mindful of that is part of what makes women professionals so effective, actually.
That's the thing too, is one thing that I do, it's become harder in recent days, but I do schedule time. Like when I was talking about I need time and space to think, to meditate on purpose, that's scheduled on my calendar. I am struggling right now with managing time because we're being asked to do the impossible. There's no way to teach 2 kindergartners for 3 hours a day, work an 8-hour day and sleep 8 hours, as well as cook, clean, take outdoor time. It's impossible. So anybody who's struggling with that, I just want to acknowledge it's impossible. It's not sustainable. We're innovating through it, but this is not a sustainable time management structure for anybody.
Yeah. So let's continue on this. I'm going to ask one other question around time, and then we want to go to the challenges of a female-focused business. How can I return to the workforce and be as successful as I had been prior to having kids? So this comes from Nicole.
So I think the way that you think about success is going to probably change, and that's okay. I think the way that I kind of thought about my career before having babies and after having babies, the metrics changed. And I don't know if you feel the same way. The way that I measured my productivity or my output or my ambition, how can I say this? I was much more focused on the things I cared about, and I became more laser pointed on the things that mattered to me. And that's eventually what led me to Milkstork.
So let's go back to the business side of things for a moment. Obstacles. Oh, obstacles in a female-focused idea. And so, like you said, too, for those of us who've been in this situation, we get it. And it just spreads virally. How do you communicate with folks who are unfamiliar with the situation that many working moms find themselves in? Or how do you talk about, how do you have conversations and educate people around these topics? And what challenges have you faced with that?
Oh, I mean, unless you've lactated, no one knows what's involved. I've been asked, well, you know, during that first business trip, why didn't you just stop breastfeeding for the time that you were gone and then just start again when you came home? And I really welcome that kind of question because it tells me that the experience, that my experience of being a woman is unknown to this person, or my experience of being a breastfeeding mom is unknown to this person. So I really do embrace that as a moment to normalize breastfeeding. Even as a woman, even when I was pregnant, I didn't know what was going to be involved in breastfeeding.
No, no.
You know, I had bigger fish to fry. I had to give birth to the babies first. And then I was like, oh, you know, we'll worry about breastfeeding later. So I get a lot of what some people would say are dumb questions around breastfeeding if you've
had, okay.
But they're just educational opportunities, honestly.
And that's someone saying, like, how do you communicate with a company where only 10 to 20% of the company is even female?
Okay, so here's the thing with lactation is that what makes the conversation hard is that we have a perception of women's bodies, and it's based around objectification. And lactation, to actually entertain the idea of lactation, challenges that perception. So when you're having a conversation about lactation in a kind of male-dominated environment, you're automatically rubbing up against objectification. And that's a tough conversation for the workplace. And unfortunately, the only response I have is to be brave and to have the conversation. I mean, that's why Me Too worked. And your voice is no longer alone. It's a collective voice. So
well spoken. I'm going to go to Paulina here for a second. So yes, there are challenges. She would love to know, Kate, can you identify some advantages of being a mom and a business leader at the same time?
When I had my kids, all of a sudden the world goes from black and white to technicolor from an emotional standpoint. I am so emotional, like the spectrum of my emotional spectrum grew having kids. And that includes kind of my emotional investment in my work. And I think that's a huge advantage because I'm not measuring my ambition or success by money or title, but by what I can produce in the world. So I think that's a much truer place for me to operate and for my ambition to be sourced from. I also think that I said it in the beginning, grit. Mm-hmm. Moms are badasses, and waking up every day to tackle, you know, one kid, three kids, five kids, going to work, we should be treated like professional athletes and spoken to as such. So I just think, yeah, I have never felt so empowered as when I became a mother, because I'm doing so many things and I feel like I'm raising great people.
Well spoken. So we have time for at least one more question, and it's going to go back. We're going to go back to Milk Stork for a moment and how to help women have this conversation with their employers in their workplace. So how do you advocate for some of your needs as a female in the workplace? So Sahar asks, how do you have a conversation with employers who are less educated or environments where public policy or maternal employment is a little bit behind the curve?
Yeah.
Do you have some guidance for how to advocate for yourself in your work environment?
I think what feels hard about those environments is being the only one. And so I think if you can find a collective effort, you won't feel like such a tall daisy having the conversation. You know, that old saying, like, don't be the tall daisy. That was the power of Me Too. And Me Too started with, you know, single voices that came together. So I think if you can diffuse the fear factor of those conversations, it's helpful. And I think the other thing to do is to really speak in plain business terms. That was one of the reasons that Milk Stork was so widely adopted by companies, is because women who are revenue generating or operationally essential to their businesses were advocating for through a business case to support them. If you want me to travel, if you want me to earn money for your company, and you're only going to give me 12 weeks of paid vacation, if you're lucky, and most moms aren't even getting that, then you need to just ship my breast milk back. Quid pro quo.
Yeah. I like the business case. That is, it is part of the lexicon.
Yeah. Speak their language.
Mm-hmm. Like I remember one of the strategies I used and I still do is I draw attention to what I can do versus what I can't do. So
yes,
I might say, I'm not able to do that, but I can do this, this, or this. And so there's simple mindsets and strategies to bring into this. And like you said, and then you find your colleagues who can join you in this.
And on the other side too, I think if you're when you're speaking truth to power, find someone on that side that understands your truth.
Yeah. And the dads. Like I love connecting
dads,
with the moms.
Yeah.
Dads need these networks too.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So with that, My last question for you is, are there some mom-led innovations that are inspiring you lately? What else inspires you?
So I really want to give a shout out to Elvi. They're the hands-free breast pump, but they've also just come up with a product. It's called the Elvi Trainer, and it's a way of strengthening women's pelvic floors after childbirth. And it's a beautifully designed product. And I think what is so amazing about it is, you know, anyone who's had a baby, your pelvic floor gets wrecked. And that can really affect you in the sense that, you know, you feel less than because you can't go for a run or, you know, it's a big change to your body. And the other thing is that it affects your sex life. And the fact that they have a product made for moms that addresses kind of this health issue that
being
happens.
Being a whole woman.
Yeah, it is, I think, genius and I think brave. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps women feel empowered in their own bodies when they come through a really giving birth ain't easy. So I love that product.
Thank you, Kate. This has been so amazing. Your stories have been so inspiring. And so we're going to wrap. This has been our latest episode of the Creative Confidence Podcast. I hope all of you are inspired by today. And if you have that seed of an idea, but you don't think you have time or energy, try something. If you feel like your voice is not being heard in your workplace or your environment, find some advocates and start practicing some language. Speak up for yourself. And with that,
Happy Mother's Day!
Happy Mother's Day, that too! And then go hug your kids and be thankful for all the people in your life who make it so full.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Creative Confidence from IDEO-U. Stay up to date on our Creative Confidence conversations and send your questions for our upcoming guests. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram and sign up for our IDEO-U newsletter at IDEO-U.com/CC. Thanks for joining us.